Well, I'm actually going to be talking for the next three Sundays in a row. We're missing Steve already, aren't we? I just thought I'd take the chance to do a little mini series on healing. And, you know, healing has always been really important to me as a person. I feel it's something that God has called me, especially to be involved in prayer for healing, but also for us as a church, and I believe for all Christians, that we have a call to be involved, all of us, in the ministry of healing. And so that's what we're going to think about for the next three or four Sundays, depending how long I stretch it out, having stretched out the life of David to probably 9 months. see how long I can go with healing. So I've got a reading. So, oh no, these are the titles, as I was going to do. Contending for Healing, that's what we're going to talk about today. Excuse me. God wants to heal today, next time. Standing on the promises, how to claim the word of God. I'm right in your way, aren't I? Yeah. Okay, let me just adjust it. Is that better? Standing on the promises. You know, there are so many promises and words in the Bible where God offers us healing. And so we're going to think about those, what they are, and how we can appropriate those so that they stop being words on a page and they become health in our body and they start changing our life. And then the fourth one is about the role of prayer and fasting when it comes to healing. So we have a Bible reading, which is from Philippians chapter 3. It's a well-known passage, one of my favorite ones actually. Starting at verse 10, Philippians 3. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In my life and ministry, you know, I've been in ministry a long time, I don't know, 35 years or something like that, 34 years. Over those years, I've known times of really special breakthrough in healing. I remember one of the first times where I saw a lot of healing take place at the same time was just in a small house meeting in a little place called Patrington, which is out towards the back of beyond, you know, towards Wivensea there. And there was, it's just near where Colin lives. He's smiling when I say it's the back of beyond. It is the back of beyond. Patrick, if you go a bit fuller, you fall off the end of the world. You know, that's the bit where it's flat and you kind of fall off the end, just beyond Wivensea. anyway, we're in this house. We had this house meeting. I had only been an evangelist for like a few months, I think. I was really young, and you know, and they asked me to go and do some Bible study, and it was a Church of England church, and in those days not many Church of England's really believed in healing. You know, it's like really unusual if you met anyone who believed in healing. And I didn't know really what this group was or much about them, But we just went to this guy's house, and somehow during the day before, I just had such a sense that God wanted to move in healing in a special way, and I really spent hours praying for healing anointing to come that evening. And I talked a little bit on healing, and I just said, I think God might want to heal some people today. And there was a guy there, an older guy who was a builder or semi-retired as a builder, and he said, I've got this frozen shoulder and it's been like this for months, you know, I can't lift it higher than this. And so we prayed for him, and instantly his shoulder went up like that. And do you know, when the first one gets healed like that, it's like the faith level in the room rises. And then we prayed for someone else, I've forgotten what, and someone else, and one person had this huge cancerous growth like this, like a massive, almost like a pumpkin on the side of their leg. And they said, oh, please, can you pray for me? I'm meant to have this operation next week to remove this big tumor, but they say that, you know, there's not much hope and the cancer's spread and so on. So we prayed for this tumor, no word of a lie, it just literally vanished, just absolutely vanished. And she was like looking like this to see where it just instantly vanished. And it was just one of those special nights. I think there were 10 people in the room and 8 of them were healed of something instantly. Everyone who was sick was healed. And I don't think I've ever had that again where everyone has been healed in a meeting. I've seen a lot of special healings. But that night sticks out in my memory. And I just think often at the start of a ministry, God gives you a foretaste. You know, he gives you the promise, like Joseph had his dream when he was a young man. And then things happen, and it seems like this dream that you have, it gets so far away, you think, will I ever reach it? But God gives you it in your young days to say, if you keep pressing on, this is what you can walk into. This is your inheritance. And over the years, like I said, I've prayed for many people. Many haven't been healed, I have to be honest. And why they haven't been healed, I don't know. Whether it's my lack of faith, probably. Maybe something in them could be, maybe the timing of God. Who knows? I don't know. And I don't think we're called to understand everything about healing. You know, the Bible never says that. It doesn't say understand everything there is to understand about healing. But it does say pray for the sick. And that's what we're commanded to do. And you know, I think that we need to contend for the promises of God. We have to fight for them. And we live in a world where we're not used to working for things. My parents' generation, you know, before there were credit cards and easy bank loans, if you wanted something, you'd work for it. And you'd save up. It might take you a couple of years, you know, if you wanted something big like a car. Their parents' generation, even more so, they'd work for ages and they'd have their little co-op saving account. They'd go and stick some in every week and it would get bigger and bigger. They knew what it was like to contend for something, to work for something. These days, we want something, we haven't got the money, we just go out and buy it, and the next day it's there. You know, we press a button and the instant coffee arrives, and we live in a world like that where we don't understand what it is to pay the price to get things. But in God's economy, you have to contend for promises. And it can go one of two ways. It says in the book of Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And for many people, you know, they believed in healing and they've been prayed for once or twice at different meetings and they haven't got healed. And if that happens, what can happen is that your heart starts to get sick. You start to think, well, the Bible talks about healing and Jesus healed and great people in the past healed, but maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's not for now. And, you know, hope deferred, it can either make the heart go sick, or, depending how you handle it, it can lead to a greater hunger. It can lead to a desperation. It can lead to a contending that in turn will lead to a breakthrough. Because some of these things, you know, we actually need a breakthrough to get them. For whatever reason, we don't understand. It's like there's a veil between us and the answer. It's like there's a barrier somehow. We pray for healing, we believe for healing, but somehow it doesn't come. And somehow there's a barrier that stops us. And somebody needs to go in that spirit of breakthrough and tear through the veil. Break through into a new spiritual dynamic so that healing becomes like it was for me in that meeting and like it is in other countries, in different people, different evangelists and ministers around the world. You know, my friends in Burkina Faso, they say they don't even bother to share testimonies of healing in their services because people are just healed. That's just normal. You know, for them, it's not even unusual enough to bother standing up at the front and sharing it as a testimony in church because people are just healed. And we need to get to that place here in our country. Paul said this, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. There's so much more that we're promised in the Bible than that which we're living in. Jesus died to set us free. He died to make us clean. He died to make us whole. He died to make us healthy. We're going to talk more about that next week, and we'll look at some of the passages in the Bible where it's clearly taught that the death of Jesus won healing as well as it won our forgiveness. Paul goes, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus died so you could have the kingdom of heaven in its fullness, the fullness of God in your life. And we need to press on to take hold of all that Jesus died to give us. And he said later in that passage we read, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. We need to press on to see more healing. One of the people that really brought the most progress in the ministry of healing in our generation, I guess, would be John Wimber. And probably many of you have been to his conferences or read his books. You know, as a young evangelist, he was just coming on the scene in the UK in the 80s and 90s. And if you read his story, how he got into healing ministry, he actually started his ministry as a Baptist pastor who didn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit at all. He believed in conversion and he was always sharing the gospel with people and helping people come to faith in Christ. But he was anti-charismatic. It wasn't just that he didn't believe in healing, but he thought that it was a wrong emphasis. You know, the devil used that to confuse people and make them all emotional and to discourage them, turn them away from salvation. He left his Baptist pastorate and he started working for a theological seminary called Fuller Theological Seminary. He was traveling all over the country preaching about church growth. And his wife, Carol, was actually more anti-charismatic than him. So she later admitted that several people left her church. She was an elder in a church and she said several people actually left the church because she was so aggressive against the move of the Holy Spirit and against healing. And yet something happened in her life where she came to realize that she needed more of God in her life, and so she started praying and seeking God. And one night she had a special dream, and in this dream she saw herself vividly preaching a 7-point sermon against the gift of tongues. And she said that she was preaching it. She was very familiar with the arguments because she used them in her church, you know, to try and persuade people that why they couldn't speak in tongues. So in a dream, she was preaching this seven-point sermon, how you shouldn't preach in tongues. And then at the end of it, she suddenly woke up and found herself speaking in tongues. And she thought, well, what is this? Speaking in tongues, and she felt so close to God, and like she'd never felt before. She felt a power and an anointing. God was with her, and suddenly her faith started to come alive. And she realized how much God loved her and how much she'd been missing out. And she started to re-examine all that she'd been teaching. One of the things was healing. And she was reading the Bible and starting to see in a fresh light that the Bible promised healing. And she believed that God spoke to her one day and said that he was going to give a special healing ministry to her husband. The trouble was that her husband was absolutely against it. He just didn't believe it in at all. Just, you know, preached against it. And at that time in her life, Carol Wimber had severe arthritis in her shoulder and in her neck. And, you know, she was in a lot of pain. And she asked her husband to pray for her, but he said, no, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in laying hands and praying. That's something that is, you know, was with the apostles, but we don't do that now. So she waited until one night when he was deeply asleep in bed. And she took his hand and put it on her shoulder and neck where the pain was. And she said, right, God, you've told me you've given my husband a healing ministry. So I ask you right now, let your power flow through his hand into my shoulder. And as she prayed that, there was like a flow of power into her shoulder and neck, and all the pain went. And her husband woke up feeling this extraordinary heat in his hand. And he goes to his wife, what's happening? My hand's burning. And she said, I have something to tell you. All my pain is gone. God has healed me. And she told how it had happened. And of course, that made him start to think, maybe I've been wrong as well. And he started praying and searching the scriptures. And in the end, he left Fuller Seminary and started a church, what would grow to become the Vineyard Movement. And he really believed through that experience that God wanted to give him a healing ministry. So every Sunday, for the first 10 months of the church, they preached on healing. He started in Luke's Gospel and preached on every miracle of healing, because he didn't know so much, you know, he was just going through every one. And for 10 months, every Sunday, the sermon was healing, 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 healing. And at the end of the sermon, they called people forward, anyone who wanted healing, and people came, and not one was sick. In fact, as the weeks went on, the ministry team started catching the diseases of the people that came forward for healing. So not only was not anyone healed, but the ministry team were getting sick from the people they were praying for. And he was getting so discouraged. God, how does this work? You told me I should heal the sick, and yeah, I'm praying and I'm preaching on healing the best I know how, and nobody is getting sick. And they did it for 10 months every Sunday. And finally, one Sunday came, and after the service, they were praying for this guy who was desperate. And they prayed for him for 2 hours. They got all the elders and anyone who believed, and they were just praying and praying and praying. And in the end, John Wimber said, you know, the guy just went, and I just dropped down on my knees, and I just said, God, this is impossible. I can't do this anymore. I've been contending for this, and it's just not happening. I just have no idea what more to do. And they went home. Early the next morning, he had a phone call from a church member. And this church member goes, John, I'm desperate. He goes, I'm due to start a brand new job today, so I can't miss it. But my wife is really sick, and there's no one to look after the kids. She can't get out of bed. Could you please come and pray for healing? And John Wimber goes, "Oh, not again. I just can't do this." But he goes, "Yeah, okay, I'll come and pray." And he, as he's driving there, he thinks, "Well, perhaps I'll just spend the day babysitting these kids, you know, at least then I'll help the guy." So he walks in and, you know, goes into the bedroom, and this wife, her face is all red and swollen up, you know, she's got this terrible fever. And John goes, "Oh no, she's actually really sick. It's not just like a little cold or something." But so he prays this little faithless prayer. God healed the woman, you know, no effort or faith in it, because he's really given up at that point. And he just turns round to explain to the husband why not everyone is healed. You know, he's got good at that talk over the last 10 months, because no one has been healed. And he sees his husband looking over his shoulder towards his wife, who has now just stood up out of bed and looks absolutely normal. And she goes, "That's amazing. The fever's just left me. I'm well. Fantastic. God has healed me." And John Wimber's so surprised, he almost faints on the floor. You know, then he goes, "I got one!" And as he's driving home, he's so encouraged. You know, he just looks out of the car and he sees in the sky. I'm going to read a paragraph or two from his book. He says, "Driving back, there appeared to be a cloud bank superimposed across the sky. I'd never seen a cloud bank like this one. So I pulled my car over to the side of the road to take a closer look. Then I realized it wasn't a cloud bank, but a honeycomb with honey dripping out onto the people below. The people were in a variety of postures. Some were reverent. They were weeping and holding their hands to catch the honey and to taste it, even inviting others to take some of their honey. Others acted irritated, wiping the honey off themselves, complaining about the mess. I was awestruck, not knowing what to think. I prayed, 'Lord, what is it?' He said, 'It's my mercy. For some people it's a blessing, but for others it's a hindrance. There's plenty for everyone. Don't ever beg me for healing again. The problem isn't at my end. It's down there.'" That's an interesting experience, isn't it? And John Wimber went on to have the most extraordinary healing ministry, where tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were healed in the most amazing way from all sorts of diseases. So sometimes you have to contend to get something that God has promised. That's just how it is. And so I just want to ask the question, why should we, here in this church here, why should we contend for healing? And the first thing I want to say is this. People mistakenly believe that if you pray for the sick and they're healed, you will fill up your church. Lots of people will start coming. And that may be the case, but in my experience, it doesn't always follow. Do you know, filling your church and healing people are two different things. And we don't pursue a healing ministry because we want to fill up the church, much as though, you know, we do want to fill up the church. We love it to be packed with people every Sunday. But you know, one of the previous things I did, I used to work on the Long Hill estate in Hull, and we had some extraordinary healings there. One of the first ones, we prayed for a 9-year-old boy who was blind, and like registered blind. He just had a little bit of sight. If he sat close to the television like this, he could just about see the shapes moving. And his grandma asked if we could go and pray for him, and prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. He could see the television from the other side of the room, and he ended up being re-registered and going to a normal school because he was at a special school for blind kids. So you'd think, you know, like that the grandma would maybe start believing in God. Maybe the parents might come and say thank you. Not once. And we had three or four other extraordinary healings like that in that same place. But it didn't result in people coming to faith in Christ. And you remember even in Jesus' life, he healed 10 lepers. But only one bothered to come back and say thank you. And for many people, they want healing, but they don't really want to follow Jesus. They're actually two different things. And we need to get that into our head, that we don't pursue a healing ministry because that's the key to church growth. It may help the church grow. It may actually do the opposite. Do you know, if suddenly every Sunday there were hundreds of sick people coming, the church people might think, oh, I'm not getting what I need now. There's no teaching. It's just all these people I don't know and the fellowship's not there. And so that's not why we pursue healing. You know, hopefully if God gives a greater breakthrough in healing, the church will grow and people will be led to faith in Christ. We hope and pray for that. But that can't be our primary goal. So for me, the reason I want to see healing is because healing is a part of preaching the gospel. Do you know, when Jesus came proclaiming that God loves you, God is here, the kingdom of God is here among you, he didn't just use words. If he had just used words, I doubt if as many people would have followed him or believed in him. And that's our trouble today, isn't it? You know, we've got the words, we say, God loves you, Jesus died for your sins, but people don't really believe that what we're saying is right. Because there are a lot of other people using a lot of other words. Politicians and other religions and so on. And somehow people need a demonstration that what you're saying is true. Now we can demonstrate it in various ways. We can use apologetics and argue about, you know, the reasons for the faith. We can show with our lives and testimonies and different things. But undoubtedly, if somebody is sick and you say, well, God loves you and I'm going to show it by praying for you and they're healed, they can't argue against that. And when we were building this building, not the new building, but the church hall, this one here that we're in now, there was an electrician who was working with us at the time called Stuart. And maybe, I don't know, maybe one or two of you know him. But he was doing all these electrics and he was an old cynic. You know, he really didn't believe in God. And I was always trying to share my faith with him. And he'd never really, you know, he'd make fun and whatever. And then one day as he was going up his ladder, I saw, you know, he was wincing a bit, you know, as he bent his knee. And I said, what's up with your knee, Stuart? And he said, oh, I used to do motorbike racing when I was young and I had loads of crashes. And so I've got this really painful knee, and especially when it's cold, it's really, really painful. I said, oh, how long have you had that? I've had it for years. Can't the doctors help? Oh, no, it's just all smashed up. So I said, well, do you know, Stuart, I really believe that God could actually help with that because he actually loves you. And I've been telling you that, you've not been listening, but God loves you and he wants to help you in your life, not just with your knee, but in other areas. And so I prayed for him. I said, can I pray? And he said, yeah, of course, no problem. You can pray, won't do anything, but you can pray. So I prayed for him and he was instantly healed. You know, his knee, the pain went. And even today, because I still see the guy, he doesn't have pain in that knee. Now, he can't say that there isn't a God who loves him. He can't say that because he was healed. So I've been sharing the gospel before, but it hadn't gone in. But when that happened, it was like God himself said, here I am. What are you going to do about it? Now, sadly, he's never given his life to Christ and followed on with that. That's his choice, and I can't do anything about that. We are just called to share the gospel. But the most effective way of sharing the gospel is with that demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. Another reason why we should contend for healing is out of compassion. I think that most of the healings that Jesus did, it wasn't to demonstrate that he had the power of God with him. In fact, that was actually a temptation that the devil brought to Jesus in the wilderness that he turned away from. Do you remember? The devil said, throw yourself down from the temple and then everyone will see that I'm with you. And Jesus goes, no, you shouldn't test the Lord like that. And I think sometimes we think, well, if only we had great healings, then people would see how great God was. And that's actually a temptation Jesus said no to. And mysteriously to us, you know, Jesus healed people and he goes, don't tell anybody about it. I don't want you writing it in your newsletter or telling people. I mean, how we read those verses and we go, huh, like, how does that work? What is that about? And it's this same temptation that it wasn't about people seeing the magic and the power and the glory and that. You know, that's not why Jesus healed people. He actually healed them because he felt their pain. He saw them suffering. He saw that their life wasn't as it should be. They weren't living the life that God intended them to have because somehow the devil had sneaked into their life and destroyed, you know, different areas, and they were living in this painful existence that actually wasn't God's plan for their life, and that was why he healed them. The healing for Jesus was actually a visible manifestation of the love that he had for them on the inside. And I don't believe that God will give us a healing ministry that is greater than the love that we have in our heart towards people. You know, if you see people and you think, I'd love to see them healed, you know, just because that would be wow. That's a wrong motivation. But if we see a sick person and our heart goes out to them, we think, oh, I'm so sorry for you. That must be awful. I can see how that is affecting you, how difficult it is. And then pray. That is the right motivation. So the fourth reason, I'm moving on quickly because time's running out. Why should we contend for healing? Because Scripture commands us to pray for the sick. Just like we're commanded to love our neighbor or to share the gospel, Scripture also says in many different places, and we'll just look at two of them now, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well. And then another scripture, Matthew 10. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. So as Christians, we should try and obey what the scripture commands us to do, shouldn't we? And if it says, pray for the sick, we need to pray for the sick. There's one more reason that I'm just going to share with you before I finish. Why should we contend for healing? I believe it's because healing is a special part of the calling that God has given to this church. And as I was preparing this message, I was looking back at some of the prophetic words that God gave around the time of the foundation of the church. Before we started the church, I had a few dreams, and a few other people had remarkable prophetic words and visions about the church. Now, I'm just going to share two with you out of various others that I could share. I'm not going to tell you who got them because it doesn't really matter. I believe that these are words that God gave us as a congregation. It's a promise that we need to contend to. So there's a load of people standing around a pie. And one lady had this dream. And she goes, I was stood in front of a massive pie. It was fantastic. John was stood on the right-hand side of the pie and was like waiting to dish it out. It was the type of pie I love, sweet and delicious. Behind the pie, there were loads of people. I couldn't see their faces, but they had their hands reached out and they were saying stuff like, "Oh, how beautiful, amazing. Can I have some? Can I have a bit, please?" As everyone clamoured for a bit of this pie, I thought, "I wonder what type of a pie this is." And a voice said to me, "It's healing pie." So then the crowd started saying, "Oh, healing pie. That's the best. Can I have a bit?" Then a voice with such authority said, clear as a bell, "Yes, there's a portion for everyone." Then I woke up. She goes on, "For the last couple of weeks, my back and especially my neck and shoulders have been really painful. But this morning when I got out of bed, I was bracing myself for the pain. I just can't tell you how much better it's been. I can actually move my head from side to side. And I've been moving my head from side to side all day just for the sheer pleasure of it, because I can." She was healed it through a dream. But, you know, it wasn't a dream just for her. It was the healing pie for everybody. And then there's another picture. "I had a picture of medieval Beverly. Outside the minster, I see medieval men carrying bags of rubble into the minster to fill in the well of life and the deposit of the Holy Spirit found by John of Beverly. Lines of men were doing this job in an organized fashion. Then I see spoons of medicine being brought out of the minster to be given to the people who have come there for healing. But the spoons are full of rubble instead of medicine, and the people all went away disappointed. Next, I'm back in the present day, and I'm looking inside the minster. In between where the pulpit and the lectern stand, I can see an underground well covered in an ornate mosaic, decorated but buried. Water is rising up from the floor, billowing out, almost as if to burst with a massive surge of power. I didn't know it at the time, but later someone told me that that spot between the pulpit and the lectern is the actual location of the tomb of the great healer, John of Beverly." So that was another picture that somebody gave to us before the starting of the church. Now, I really believe that healing will be one of those special characteristics of the church, and that's why now we've started a healing service every Wednesday afternoon. And, you know, people come, people that are not in the church, that are sick, come, and we pray for them, and some of them have been healed. Praise God. Some of you know the people, I won't say their names, but one lady healed of COPD, was unable to breathe, and some others have got better, not completely well. Others are more or less the same, but feeling better on the inside, starting to find new life. And, you know, that's one of our ways of contending, pushing for more healing. And, you know, I really believe that it will come more and more. And so some of us are starting to pray and fast on a Wednesday, a fast part of the day or all of the day, whatever, just to ask for a breakthrough in healing, because we believe it's something God really wants to give us. So if you feel you'd like to join in with that, you'd be ever so welcome. So that's really all I'm going to say this morning. As I say, it's part of a series, so each week we're going to learn a little bit more about healing. And hopefully, by the end of the time, we keep pushing through, then we'll start to see more and more healings break out amongst us. That photograph, I got that photograph yesterday off the internet. So that wasn't the same pie. There are a lot of big pie pictures on the internet.